The economic ties that bind Europe to Russia.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Join Me, an instant online meeting app used by millions of people to collaborate and get work done anywhere. More at join.me.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. In the Crimean region of Ukraine, pro-Russian lawmakers are now planning to ask the public to vote the weekend after next on actually joining Russia. Ukraine's economy minister says such a referendum would be, quote, illegitimate. The BBC's Chris Morris is in Brussels, where European Union leaders are gathered for an emergency summit and have just started meeting in the last hour. Chris, thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure. Good to be with you.
I see British Prime Minister David Cameron is saying that Europe, quote, needs to send a very clear message to the Russian government that what has happened is unacceptable and should have consequences. But, Chris, how far is the EU prepared to go?
It's a tough one. I mean, for some countries, they're saying, look, we're talking about trying to de-escalate the situation in Crimea. We can't say let's de-escalate on the one hand, but with the other, say we're going to impose sanctions right now. Big countries like Germany say we've got to stick with negotiation. They, of course, are also the countries that have the biggest economic relationship with Russia and therefore arguably the most to lose. And they may win the day. There may be some small sanctions imposed, but the bigger things, the real full-scale economic sanctions, will probably have to wait for another day.
Some members of the EU are worried about energy supplies. For instance, you saw Poland and Greece are among those worried about natural gas supplies if Russia were to cut off Ukraine for not paying its natural gas bills.
Yeah, I mean, the EU gets about a third of its gas from Russia, and much of that comes via Ukraine. So I think it will, in the longer term, intensify the debate about how Europe diversifies that energy supply. There may well be a much bigger debate about fracking and the use of shale gas. Can we loosen our dependency on Russia?
The BBC's Chris Morris in Brussels. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Now let's do the numbers. The FT 100 in London is up 0.2%. The key stock index in Moscow is down 1.7%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up. There's word the office supply place Staples will close about 225 stores to cut its costs by about $500 million. Its stock is down 6.8% pre-market. It's a catch-22. If you don't have enough credit history to generate a credit score, lenders might not want to give you money, making it tough to build credit. Enter big data. Companies are now mining the internet for information about consumers and businesses. But as Sally Herships reports, a new study suggests that what they find online may not be reliable.
Just because you find it on the internet doesn't mean it's true. The National Consumer Law Center says, unfortunately, data mining companies have yet to learn this particular lesson.
If people are going to use data to make a credit determination, we want to make sure that that data is accurate.
Persis Yu is a lawyer with the NCLC. She and her colleagues looked at their own reports from companies like Spokio and Intellius. She says they were full of errors and also sparse.
What we suspect is that, frankly, we didn't get all the information that they actually have on us.
Which, FYI, Persis says is illegal. Jose Quinones is CEO of Mission Asset Fund. He works with immigrants to help them establish credit. He says he's skeptical of high-tech data, but he does want credit reporting agencies to be open to new sources of information.
From cell phones, payments, utility payments, rent payments, for example.
Spokio and Intellius didn't respond in time for this story. The National Consumer Law Center says it wants tighter restrictions for these kinds of companies. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Invest Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland, a European location with a young, well-educated, agile workforce at the ready. More at investni.com/invest. By Robert W. Baird & Company, employee-owned and independent, Baird has kept clients' financial interests first since 1919. BairdWealth.com has more information. And by Citrix, with GoToMeeting, connecting people in face-to-face online meetings so they can collaborate from anywhere. More at GoToMeeting.com.
There can be tax advantages to owning a house, but the rules are sometimes a moving target in the spirit of tax season. Yes, it is. We had Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer quiz a first-time home buyer on what the IRS will and won't allow.
Rhonda Beluso and her fiancé Connor Bambrick just bought their first house.
It is a 1929 Tudor.
It's in Albany, New York.
And then we can head upstairs, too.
They moved in April of 2013, house, but... right around tax time.
Taxes were on my mind at that point. They always are.
Since Belusso was already thinking about taxes, we thought she wouldn't mind a little tax quiz. First question, is there any kind of national tax credit for first-time homebuyers? Belusso doesn't think so.
I know that it was an $8,000 credit at the time, but I was pretty sure that that had gone away.
She's correct.
Leonard Wright is a CPA in San Diego. He says President Obama did include a first-time homebuyer tax credit in his stimulus package during the housing crisis, but it expired in 2010. Wright says the state or city you live in might offer a tax credit, though. Okay, second question for Rhonda Belusso. Is the interest she pays on her mortgage deductible?
Oh, I think so.
Belusso's right again, although she's not sure if she deducts every penny she pays in interest or just a percentage of it. Here's CPA Leonard Wright again.
The answer is generally it is dollar for dollar up to $1 million of mortgage that you have on your home.
But Belusso doesn't get everything right. She thinks she'll get a tax credit if she makes improvements to her home that save energy.
New windows, some sealed doors, and so hopefully some of those will come off for next year.
Sorry, Rhonda. That energy-saving tax credit expired at the end of last year. Congress could always renew it. Now, Belusso doesn't have a second home, but if you do, you might be sitting on more deductions, even for an RV or a boat. Kay Bell of Bankrate.com is our expert here.
It's basically as long as you have cooking and bathroom facilities, then it can be a second home.
And if you sold a house in 2013, you can get some deductions, too, for things like advertising and certain renovations. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And Sbarro, the fast food Italian place associated with airports and highway rest stops, is reportedly preparing to file for bankruptcy. The Wall Street Journal says it would be a Chapter 11 filing to restructure, not liquidate. Among the changes being contemplated to turn things around at the chain, using fresher ingredients, which in my experience is never a bad idea when it comes to Italian cooking. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
As they look for the best job applicants they can get, bankers are trading in their suits for jeans.
The market that we're in is really competing for programmers, which is a very, very competitive market.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, old school bankers versus new school technology. In the world of high frequency trading, that's next time on Marketplace from APM.